running for?
My name's Orion Hansen, and I'm running for mayor of Skagway.
Thank you, Orion. What is your background?
I've served on the assembly for 7 years. Prior to that, I was chair of planning and zoning, and I have a degree in political science from the University of Wisconsin, Madison.
Do you have any political experience outside of Skagway?
In college, I did a lot of campaigning. I worked at the state capitol twice for a state senator, and I worked on several campaigns throughout the state of Wisconsin, as well as was very involved in getting people registered to vote.
All right. What other involvements do you have in the community?
I'm a contractor. I employ 6 carpenters year-round, and I'm pretty involved in the Eagles, Fraternal Order of the Eagles, as an officer there as well.
And why do you want to run?
I'm running because I believe we need to have a more open feel to City Hall. I feel in the wake of major challenges, the pandemic, the rock slide, the transfer of the White Pass, expiration of the White Pass lease, that we sometimes excluded viewpoints that were not held within City Hall. And I feel we can do a better job of being more inclusive. I have a lot of experience in city in our local government, and I think I can be very fair and objective in being a good mayor.
Would you like to give examples of those viewpoints that might have been excluded?
The Uplands leases got particularly acrimonious, and I don't think that needed to be that way. You know, that's some Monday morning quarterbacking in the rearview mirror. We put those opportunities for those properties out to bid and didn't get any responses other than the companies that are there now, including Petro, AML, and Timsco. And I think the end result was probably where we should have ended up, but I think it could have been handled in a way that was not quite so acrimonious.
Mm-hmm. What do you see as the mayor's role?
First and foremost, to run a fair meeting and procedurally correct meeting, but to run a fair meeting where the democracy of Skagway is heard and done in the proper format. The mayor has times of being very critically important in times of crisis and when leadership is needed to step in. But I don't see that the mayor always has to be the hammer to bring things down. I think you have 6 other assembly people with strong viewpoints and a very competent staff at City Hall. But I would say that probably the most important thing is to convey the viewpoints of the citizens through our local government in a objective manner.
Mm-hmm. You've been on the assembly for 7 years. What are you most proud of achieving during your tenure?
Most proud of? Good question. I would say how we responded to the pandemic. We had enormous challenges and fears of, you know, we're juggling people's fears of their families, their own health, their businesses, their livelihoods. We were worried of massive loss of population for people leaving. And I'd say the response to get economic aid and vaccines out to the community were exemplary. And I would say that was something that we juggled with the masking mandates constantly. It was the regulations from the CDC seemed to change every week. And those were definitely difficult times. We had months and months where we were kind of operating from our homes or our computers, and we were able to juggle it. And I really thank Mayor Cremata for his leadership during that time. It was quite challenging. And I think we did our best and came out of that tumultuous time as whole as we could as a community. So I would say that of all the things I've gone across in the last 7 years, that's one I think that we did our best.
What part of Mayor Cremada's work would you like to continue, and what would you change?
Mayor Cremada is an excellent communicator through social media, and that's something I need to improve on. In times where we really needed his leadership, he was above and beyond. And then also his communication with around the state, I think, is a great example for the next mayor. He's fostered great relationships through the Alaska Municipal League, the mayor's conferences, and throughout the state. And I think that's a great example for future mayors. It helps when we're contacting our federal delegation, when we're contacting our state senators in Juneau and the governor. And I think that's a really strong, very strong example that he set going forward.
Anything you would want to deviate from?
Well, as I said before, I'd like to see City Hall a little more open to opposition. That's just been my own take on it. Is that it's not just Mayor Cremada. I think across the board, the assembly has not been open to, you know, some opposing ideas at times, and that creates rift in the community. You know, and I'm not saying it's always going to be harmonious. There's certainly going to be rifts and disagreements and discussions, but I'd say we can do a better job of being more inclusive.
Do you have any ideas to promote small businesses in Skagway?
Well, I am a small business owner, so I feel that how that daily strife is active in making payroll to getting supplies and materials. We throughout the last 7 years, we've done a lot of things to try to encourage local entrepreneurs to flourish and to stay afloat. But I think the one of the bigger problems we have for small businesses is the employment force, which is usually related back to housing problems. The Garden City discussion is a large one that's been on the table at the assembly level for a number of years. And I think much of our housing problem is related to a lack of land for development. So Garden City plays a big part of that. Inflation is certainly something that I think all of us are experiencing at the cash register, at the grocery store. Freight's very expensive in Skagway. It seems out of whack to me, but you know, the freight cost is something that we endure on pretty much everything we touch. So do I have solutions for freight? I don't. Do I have solutions for inflation? I mean, that's a national problem. But I definitely feel the pains that everybody else feels every time we go to the cash register.
Are there other big issues that you see Skagway has to face in the coming few years?
This question was asked Monday night's candidate forum. I think one of the bigger problems I see is the imbalance between a flourishing summertime economy and a stable and strong and resilient wintertime population. And I worry with increased revenues, we're going to see people with more money consume more of the housing, more of the wealth, more of the, you know, and then that money leaves in the winter. And that's of great concern. I think that keeping a strong year-round population is something that I have been worried about for a long time, and not seeing sort of a corporatization of Skagway.
What is your vision for tourism in Skagway?
We have to improve our infrastructure to really meet the demands we have now. I see that we will grow a little bit, but I don't really envision the discussions of a fifth berth anytime on the horizon, anytime soon. We've had discussions of the Ferry Peninsula, But I think with the build out of the ORDOC and the advancement and correcting the rock failure above the railroad dock, we're going to see the biggest and best cruise lines come to, or ships come to Skagway. And with that, there will be some growth in our numbers, at least in the next few years. I think the tourism industry across the board is on, it's on the rise, but some of that could be cyclical a few years from now and be in decline. That's unknown. But, I think some of the growth charts we've seen from experts seem to indicate that it just is on a constant incline, and I'm a little skeptical of that. But I would say I think we can handle more tourism, but not infinitely more, with our infrastructure of the solid waste, the sewer plant, the Klondike Highway, the width of the boardwalk. There's a carrying capacity. There's a saturation limit that Skagway will meet its limit at some point. But we do an amazing job with the logistics, and White Pass is a huge part of that. There's no way a town of this size would even attempt to handle over 1 million tourists without the amazing job that White Pass does. And it's the number one shore excursion in the world in terms of number of people who go on it. And that's really the crown of why we are a premier place to visit.
Would you ever consider a cap on tourism, on the number of visitors?
I would, but I wouldn't put a number on it now. I think we're all trying to get back on our feet after some rough years, and I don't want to throw a number out that's arbitrary. I think I would more consider a cap on the number of berths that we have, and that's not a cap that needs to be declared. It's enormous investment to build out a dock, or to fix a dock, or to repair a dock. And I think with the four docks we have, that's where we should start up. It's three docks and the four berths that we have, we should stay that way. And we're improving it. We're the ore dock is going to be much deeper water, lengthening the length of that berth, and that will allow larger ships to come that currently can't call on Skagway. And I think that will. It will increase in the short run, the number of tourists we can handle in a day and in a season. But overall, I would say we should not be considering building out anything further.
Do you have any ideas for promoting winter tourism or independent travelers?
Yeah, I think increasing some of our trails and the hut system that's been talked about would be pretty cool. I think that would gain kind of the winter ecotourism. Having restaurants open obviously helps a lot. We've had some pretty good fall and winter festivals. And Temsco recently has started doing some heli-skiing out of Skagway. That's something that historically has all gone to Haines and elsewhere, but we've got some awesome peaks here. So hopefully that's something that grows. Skagway is a lot of fun in the holiday season. Santa train, Thanksgiving, Halloween, the Christmas time. I really enjoy it. So maybe something that we relish just as locals, and keep it for ourselves. But I think it's pretty fun. I've always enjoyed the holiday season myself.
The municipality is running the clinic, and there are no doctors currently. Do you think this could be addressed, and how?
I think we all look at doctors as being sort of a magic potion, that if we had a doctor, everything would be better. But I think with the clinic, that's the only part of the situation. I would support separating the budget, for one thing, to where it's more of an allocation like the school gets, rather than the assembly is authorizing every single expenditure with every check run. I don't think that that's very effective management. We have it causes strife between the clinic board and city hall, and the clinic board works very hard, and they're more up to date on the minute-to-minute issues that are going on. And I think we probably should be looking at some sort of nonprofit structure going forward with the clinic that sets them up in a better situation than constantly worrying about the grant that we depend on every year and the minute-to-minute changes. I would say that finding a permanent executive director is probably one of the bigger issues the clinic has, because that's stability from the top down. I think having a year-round doctor in Skagway is probably economically at this point not very likely. I mean, unless we're finding some, you know, from that television series Northern Exposure situation where you're paying someone's medical bills or medical school bills, I don't think it's realistic that you're going to get a experienced doctor to live in Skagway year round. I think with our winter economy and our winter population, that's just a hard sell. Finding stable year-round nurses is something that we had till a few years ago. People who lived here year-round, and now it's really juggled with revolving locums, and I'm told that's the way medicine is now, and I have a hard time accepting that. I think we want people who live here day in and day out, year-round, at the clinic, not people come in for a few weeks and leave. And you know, it's necessary, and I'm not trying to undermine those people who come here for work, but I don't think it makes for a very whole community when you have people in for a few weeks and they're gone, and someone else comes in for a few weeks and they're gone. It's also quite expensive.
What do you think should be done with the Garden City RV park?
Well, I favor selling it as residential lots in under the current zoning that we have along State Street. The two lots that border State Street, those are zoned business general, and I think those could be developed in high density housing, multifamily units in some manner. And I think the other lots could be sold in a phased approach for single family housing, which is residential general, which is also right next to the school, and I think that's appropriate. It's going to take quite a bit of infrastructure to get there, and we definitely need a plan of where the RV traffic goes. It's been fairly robust this year. I think after the pandemic, there are a lot of people who are traveling that way in RVs, and I see that as continuing. And we need to have a different location for RVs to go, preferably a private property that does that, and not a municipal project. Mm-hmm.
How would you include Skagway Traditional Council into the discussion of?
I favor giving them, or not giving them, but allocating up to two lots. I think if they wanted to build some sort of building or center there, I would think you would want off-street parking so that they're not people wouldn't be parking at the school or on the street or up and down State Street.
Mm-hmm. To make more land available for building, would you ever consider a tax on empty lots?
I don't think so. I think that's rubs Alaskans the wrong way. Mm-hmm. I don't think I would go there. If someone wants to have, you know, a vacant lot and they pay the taxes on it and they want to mow their grass and, you know, have a garden, I have no issue. I don't foresee that being that's overreaching, I think, government's bounds. No, I wouldn't support taxing vacant lots in a different way than you normally would just tax what the value of the land is in general. Mm-hmm.
How do you see the current transition on the Skagway waterfront moving forward?
It's gone pretty well this summer. I mean, there's certainly been some challenges, not the least of which is the rock slide and the tendering. But I think it's gone well. I think, you know, with Southeast Seadorans and CLIA, we haven't drastically, you know, we basically have the same organization that's been managing the waterfront, and our port department and Director Jennings are doing a great job in coordination with that, as well as the harbor master. I think that you know, it's there was great fears that this would be we'd be reinventing the wheel, but I don't think that it has happened that way. I think it's been fairly smooth. The rock slide has been a challenge, but a lot of good teamwork with White Pass and the cruise lines and in our port department, I think that has worked out in the bus companies. I think it's worked out pretty well. And ultimately, tendering into the small boat harbor is not where we want to permanently be, but it's worked pretty well for this season. And with the rock slide, you know, that's ongoing. We have a massive FEMA grant that's very promising, $20 million, and we've put in a head tax across the whole port to help raise revenue to help pay for that massive rock slide mitigation project, and the cruise lines have stepped up and agreed to that head tax, so that we were calling a vessel impact fee, and that will be our matching funds to hopefully secure the grant for rock slide mitigation.
Regarding ore transfers in Skagway, how do you see that developing in the next few years?
I'm in favor of having ore shipment out of Skagway from the ore dock. We had a lot of community outreach on that during the comp plan through Scheinberg and Spruce Root, and the community spoke pretty clearly that they want a multi-use waterfront. And how that plays out exactly, whether it's containerized, something we've been debating at the assembly level, and how that looks after the current ship loader is taken down, which is going to happen here with the next couple of weeks. What we do know is that a fixed ship loader doesn't work. It's an impediment to the cruise ships coming in, and it's a pretty antiquated system, and we have to modernize. And we also ultimately need to dredge the north end of the ore basin, because the basin has filled in, and there's also some isostatic rebound occurring, and it's not deep enough for those ships to come in. But it's a fairly complicated scheduling Tetris game, but one that I think our engineers have come up with a workable plan to where a ore ship can be in port for 2 to 3 days on the northern portion of the ore dock, and cruise ships can come in and out. As well as fuel tankers as well can come in the northern portion, while cruise ships come in and out behind them on the southern end. So I'm in favor of ore in the future. The Marine Services platform is a hot topic with the Yukon government, and they seem very eager to finance it. And we're considering those options. It won't happen this winter. But it's certainly in play for the winter of 24 and 25, so we'll see.
What global trends do you see are affecting Skagway in the future or now?
Well, I certainly hope we continue to pursue alternative energy options going forward. I think with tourism, it's the places that have green alternative energies will be more of a featured destination, and someday maybe that's where it's limited to go to, is that you have hydroelectric or other alternative offsetting options for less pollutive impacts on your environment. You know, fishing is a concern that, you know, is it stable? Are the fish coming back? Are the, you know, the hatcheries producing? And I remember being a little kid, and the pink salmon run was so vibrant coming up the Skagway River. And that hatchery was stopped. It kind of, I think we also had problems getting the fry from Dye Pack at one point. The king salmon are, really struggling. So that's something, globally is, I don't know how Skagway plays into that, but just the general health of the fisheries is something that I worry about. I don't know how our government changes that as a whole, but it's something I think about. I think, we see a lot more people traveling by RVs, or at least that's a vibrant mode, particularly coming out of the pandemic. People like doing things, kind of their own time. And I hope to see that the highway is maintained, and year round. And I'd love to see that the ore shipment the trucking is able to happen at night and not during the middle of the day. I don't know if that's a global trend, but it's certainly an international issue. A strong partnership with the railroad is imperative for Skagway to flourish in the future.
Where do you see Skagway or would like to see Skagway in 50 years?
Well, hopefully I'm around to see it in 50 years. I would hope Skagway is, population wise, not too different than it is now. I mean, if it grows much in population, I hope it's in a sustainable way to where you have people with a lot of home ownership and it isn't corporatized. I would hope it continues to have a lot of the strong entrepreneurial spirit that it's always had 50 years from now. We've got a great school, and I think that's kind of the backbone of the future. So, and I hope it we still have glaciers to see in 50 years.
Any last word, anything you'd like to add?
Please come out and vote on October 3rd.
Ryan Hansen, thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.